Hey, there we are. There we are. Yeah. A little bit of a technical issue here.
Way to go, buddy.
I'm blaming Kevin Barker for it.
Of course you are.
Of course you are. Kevin, I told you, when you were running around calling this guaranteed win weekend, I was trying to convince you that you can never take anything for granted in baseball. And you should have known better than to call this guaranteed win weekend.
I should have listened to you, for sure.
You should have listened to me. 12-4, yeah. The Toronto Blue Jays taking it on the chin from the Colorado Rockies. 11 extra base hits for the Rockies. That ties a franchise record for a road game last set in September 2nd, 2019, against the Dodgers. 416-870-0590, star 590, 1-888-666-0590. We asked the question on social media about 5.5 hours ago. No, not that long ago, but we asked the question on social media, what your level of concern is with Kevin Gausman after what we've seen so far this year. Kevin Barker, I will turn it over to you. 6 balls hit with an exit velo of 100 miles an hour or more. Now, he did get some whiffs. He actually got a fair number of whiffs and a splitter. But clearly, that's not what we expect or what anybody expects from Kevin Gausman. What did you see?
Yeah, he threw 31 split fingers. He got 11 swing and misses. I mean, that's okay. That's not the greatest. Again, whenever you listen to him talk, he'll talk about he wants to go away with the split finger. He wants to go in with the split finger. He can do that when he's got the good feel of it. It's either a swing and miss or a ground ball. He had one ground ball out and five fly ball outs. It's just like, again, if you hadn't watched the game and I'd have told you that he threw 21 sliders, what would you have said to me?
He would have had absolutely no confidence in his 2 best pitches.
There you go. So, I think that's sort of what it is, right? Second inning there looked to me like he's a little bit too predictable. It was when you throw a slider, then a fastball. You throw a curveball and a fastball. You throw something secondary and then a fastball. Like, you do that enough, sooner or later they're going to make a little bit of an adjustment. They're going to look fastball after something soft. You know, he got in some of those at-bats, he got a little bit too predictable. In the third inning there, look, it was – right, it was the grind. It was more, you know, you're trying to add and subtract with your third best pitch instead of attacking. And, you know, again, whenever your velocity is down about 2 ticks, right, the first start it was 94.5. The last 2 starts it's been about 92.7 miles an hour. That's a big difference when you got 2 pitches. And then that's when you start having to abuse the third pitch that you have. Right, I mean, if you look at it, 5 of the 10 hits he gave up were 2 strikes. It's just whenever he got to them, 2 strikes, which he got to 2 strikes a bunch, he just, for whatever reason, he didn't have good feel for it, and he didn't have the extra gear. And we talk about this with every pitcher that walks to the mound with the Blue Jays that's a starter. When you have the consistent velocity this time of the year, with the velocity that you throw, that allows you to get away with some stinkers, right? You know, you're a human being. You're going to throw a bad slider. You're going to throw a bad split finger. And if you got the extra tick, you know, with the fastball as a hitter, you got to cheat, open up the front side, and then you can get away with some bad ones. You know, I don't know if you're worried about this, but I think you have to, if you're Kevin, if you're Pete Walker, if you're John Snyder, like, you got to go back to the drawing board a little bit and just wonder, is it about routines off the field, right? We all know that he didn't throw a lot up until this point, right? Do you have to throw more between starts? You know, do you do an extra bullpen? Are you long tossing more just to sort of rev up the arm a little bit more, make it a little bit stronger, so when you do hit it, you hit the ground running? And hopefully you see that in the next start. I'm sure you will see it a little bit better, which is exactly what you need. I mean, he didn't throw enough strike ones. He wasn't efficient with 2 strikes. The velocity wasn't there. Basically, he's only got one way to go, Jeff, and that's up.
Yeah, and, you know, we were coming into this game. One of the talking points was the fact that his 2 previous starts, which were shaky, both came outdoors, one in colder weather. And the last start was in colder weather, so you kind of wanted to see how he would pitch inside the dome. I mean, his numbers have been much better indoors and in warm weather for whatever reason. But yeah, I know Buck and Dan referred to this a couple of times. You get the sense that it wasn't a normal spring for Kevin Gausman, obviously. And you get the frankly, you get the sense he may not be ready. He may not be ready to be the Kevin Gausman we expect Kevin Gausman to be. And you're absolutely right. This will be a challenge for Pete Walker. They'll have to figure it out.
I'm sure he's been around long enough to understand he ain't going to make excuses for himself. You know, if he's pitching, everybody would assume he's raring and ready to go, and he can go out there and compete and show everybody his best stuff. But this is sort of the season, right? The third inning, he went out and threw 29 pitches, faced seven batters, gave up three runs. On the offensive side, the Blue Jays went to the plate, three up, three down, saw 12 pitches. That was the meat of the order, 3-4-5. Yep. That's sort of the way their season's been, right? It's when the pitcher's really bad, you expect the battle for the lineup the very next inning to be a little bit stiffer, right? You go up there, you stick your nose in there, you may take some pitches. I mean, then you start seeing Bo throwing helmets and getting all ticked off because he's not hitting balls or swinging at stuff he shouldn't be swinging at. So, yeah, sort of it's turning into some things here where they're going to have to control a little bit and figure things out in a hurry.
And as we have talked about, Alejandro Kirk keeps coming up in big situations. First inning, two on, strikes out to end the inning. Fifth inning comes up, two on, flies out to right field. You know, I mean, and now granted, that ball was well hit, and you could tell people here were kind of hoping. They were praying to get the ball over the right field fence. It didn't turn out that way. Danny Jansen cannot get here soon enough.
Kirk, he's 6-for-45. I mean,
they're all singles. They're all singles. He doesn't have an extra base hit.
It's hard when he's playing every day behind the plate, and then you expect what you expect from him offensively. It's a lot to ask.
Okay, we're going to move on to the callers in a minute, but Dalton Varsho hit a home run today, Kevin Barker, and another line drive infield hit.
Yeah, look, I talked about this today. It was about separation. When you got better separation between the front foot and the hands, it gives you a better chance to have the bat speed, the balance, and the torque that you want in your midsection. And, you know, when sort of everything's connected and there's not that big of a pause between the stride separation that he does. The stride separation, get the foot down early and sort of try and throw your hands with good, you know, bad awareness towards the baseball, and it always doesn't work out for him. But he looked like he's more confident, like he wasn't thinking about that. It was just sort of, dare I say, Jeff, see ball, hit ball. Occasionally some guys need to try and do that, and it looked like he was a little better at that tonight.
Now, we do have a little bit of news, by the way, as I think you have been talking about for a while. Blue Jays manager John Schneider just letting the media know that Yariel Rodriguez will start tomorrow. Bowden Francis will be available in the bullpen. So, of course, Yariel Rodriguez joining the team today, but he will be officially activated tomorrow. He's on the taxi squad tonight. And now we await the imminent return, it appears, of Jordan Romano and Eric Swanson. And as we mentioned, Danny Jansen, the Buffalo Bisons, AAA Buffalo Bisons, were rained or winded out, however you want to call it today. So both of those, or all three of those players, will go down this weekend, get their work in, and knock on wood, hopefully we'll see all three of them in time for Monday when the Yankees come into town. 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. Let's go all the way to the West Coast. Matt in Vancouver, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, fellas. Thanks for having me on. I thought I'd make a couple of comments, one on Kevin Gausman and another one on the hitting. I'm curious if Kevin Gausman is experiencing a bit of dead arm, only because 93 I know is not the hardest that he throws, and it's not the slowest that I've seen his fastball either, but you know, it's kind of middle because he should be like 95-96, I feel. But I remember a past interview I think about last season where you had former major league pitcher Jeremy Affeldt on, where he talked about the off season is not enough time, basically, and I'm paraphrasing it, but the offseason is not enough time for pitchers who get their adrenaline up and get themselves charged up kind of game after game. And, you know, when that season ends and, you know, you have your whatever month off it is, depending on how long your season went, it's just not enough time. And if that's the case, if they kind of gave him another couple of months, I have no idea whether that would fix him a little bit more. Maybe he could throw a little harder after that. But I'm just curious, and I have maybe not, but that was just what a question. And my other one question about this team is it just me, or is it easier for the Blue Jays to hit home runs with nobody on base? Because the past, even just last season, it just seemed like they'll hit home runs, but it just seems like there's just not a lot of runners on base. Like, I don't know, maybe it's just their heart rate slows down a little bit more in the situation. I'm just curious if it's just me or do you see it too?
Yeah, I'll pass that over to Kevin. Thanks for the call. I mean, they didn't hit enough home runs last year to begin with. So, I mean,
yeah, they're one of the worst teams. They're one of the worst teams in baseball to hit with runners in scoring position when it comes to backspin and homers, right? Maybe they're just not a good home run hitting team. Maybe that's
I think we have to say they aren't. I mean, Don Mattingly's been basically telling you that for a year. Maybe we got to listen to him.
Yeah, how do you win without hitting homers in 2024, Jeff?
Be interesting. We'll
find
out.
Can you do that in the
American
League? So you're telling me in the American League East you think they have a chance without hitting homers?
I'm saying we'll find out. I did not say that they have a chance. I'm saying we'll find out. But I think it's pretty clear that this is not a home run hitting team. It's just not. Who in this team guarantees you 30 bombs?
Nobody.
Rest my case.
Bury a soul.
Rest my case. Yeah. As far as Kevin Gausman goes, now, listen, you know, Kevin Gausman is kind of they have enough. First of all, he's earned it, but they also have enough faith in him that they kind of let him call the ball and the offseason and everything. And I, you know, you made a point in the offseason that we seem to have not we, but people maybe seem to have missed. He ain't young. He's pitched a ton of innings. And he's a two-pitch guy, basically. And I'm not saying that he's done or washed up or anything like that. Far from it. I don't think he is. I mean, I was one of the people, and there were a lot of people out there who had him as one of their Cy Young favorites, and I'm certainly not about to change my opinion based on what I've seen so far. But he's getting up there. He is getting up there. And
yeah,
Kevin, you said this. The guy's throwing two pitches for a couple of years right now.
Yeah, for the most part, I think, too, people that have dead arm, I don't think could throw as hard as he was throwing tonight.
No.
Consistently, he wasn't throwing as hard
as
I think
he'd
want
to
throw.
If he had dead arm, Pete Walker and John Schneider aren't sending him out there.
I don't know about that. I mean, again, I think it gets back to that. You know, he's been around long enough to understand what his body's feeling like, and if he tells them that his body's fine, they're going to run him out there because his name's Kevin Gausman. It just
what I'm saying. But
for whatever reason, right, mechanically or finish or rotation or, I mean, it could be numerous things this early in the season. You know, a lot of these guys don't have the best of starts all the time, and maybe this is just one of those things where he just doesn't feel right for him for whatever reason. Maybe it was he didn't throw enough in spring training. Maybe it's, you know, it's just the weather. That one game sort of threw him off. But there is a little bit of confidence when it comes to he did get 11 swing and misses on the split finger. I mean, that's pretty decent out of 31 he threw. The velocity occasionally was there where he wanted it to. He just wasn't maintaining it through his entire start. And, you know, I think that's sort of where you maybe go back to the drawing board. Tim Mays is going through the same thing. And I heard him say, you know, he needs to work a little bit harder in the weight room, maybe strengthen his legs a little bit more, doing a little bit more work on your core. That's what it's all about. Adjustments between the times that you're not doing well, that's up to the player, and the players know themselves better than anybody does, and I'm sure that they are doing everything possible to make the adjustment they need to make them the best pitcher they could possibly be and help this team, because it sure does, Jeff. I don't know about you, but, boy, it sure does have that feel of it's a run prevention team again, and what you're getting from the offense is gravy.
Absolutely. 416-870-0590. Star 591, 888-666-0590. The Colorado Rockies have beaten the Blue Jays 12-4 in the first game of this three-game series. Heard some boos tonight. For Vladdy and Alejandro Kirk, mostly. You know, and I mean, the fans, we talked about this last year. This team can be a hard watch at times. And I think it's understandable fans are going to react that way. It won't be the last time this year.
Yeah, I think fans are very smart. They see the at-bats like in the second inning when Kiermaier hits the 3-2 fastball down the left field line for a double. And then Springer comes up and swings at an 0-0 sinker down. That's the pitcher's pitch you shouldn't be swinging at. Vladdy comes up and swings at an 0-0 slider away. So instead of them having a quality at bat being a tough out, they get two outs on two pitches and sort of kills the rally. John and everybody that's around this team that matters, that's making decisions, says the same exact thing to us and everybody else that wants to listen, is that the middle of this lineup, 1 through 4, will have to take this team where they ultimately need to be. And when you see at bats like that in the second inning, sometimes you earn the booze, Jeff.
Sam in Hamilton, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, guys. First of all, I mean, you know, just to lose this game against a Colorado team that, and I know the history, we were 9-0 at home, but it just felt like halfway through the game, the team just quit. I mean, one of the Rockies pitchers had like 11 pitches through two innings of relief, and it's just extremely frustrating that again and again and again, it just feels like 2023 2.0. And Jeff, I've been calling into your shows forever. I don't know why the Blue Jays and Maple Leafs have not learned from the Raptors. Why is this team so afraid of a franchise-altering trade? I'm not saying trade Bo, or maybe you do have to trade Bo or Vlad. I mean, it just feels like 2023 again, and I'm at the point where, like, it's insanity, the fact that they ran this back again. And
what's the franchise?
I would fire Ross Atkins tonight.
Let me ask you this, because I'll ask you this question. What's a franchise-altering trade for this team? Are you sure that Vladdy's as attractive as we think he is?
Well, maybe trade Bo. Like that's my biggest fear. Like if you look at Bo Bichette, I'm afraid Bo Bichette's going to request a trade at the deadline if this team isn't good. Because the way
he won't request a trade at the deadline, it doesn't work that way in baseball. I suppose he can request a trade if he wants, but it doesn't work that way in baseball. He's a year away from free agency. He's going to play his cards properly. He's not going to do that, you know. And I mean, this isn't the NBA. You can't make a trade and bring in one guy that takes you to a championship. I mean, if that was the case, the Angels would have multiple World Series rings now. I mean, you just can't. Just can't. Never mind that we can talk about the Raptors and how lucky they were. I mean, Golden State had a ton of players hurt in the final. If I'm not mistaken, Masai Ujiri wanted to trade Kyle Lowry to the Knicks, and the Knicks ownership turned it down. They had a lot go their way. Yes, they made a franchise-altering deal. They had a lot go their way. But this isn't the NBA. You can't bring in one guy that's going to change things. I mean, you just can't.
Yeah, it's just so frustrating. Again, like this is the game where like you think, okay, the Rockies are 3-10. We're supposed to come in. We're supposed to be this playoff caliber team, and we just lay an egg. And it's just so frustrating.
Oh, listen, Sam. I appreciate the call, Kevin. I can't disagree with Sam. It is. I've said this. This is a frustrating team to watch last year. It could be a frustrating team to watch this year. You know, run prevention's dull. I mean, I'm sorry. It's dull.
Yeah, and it's a lot to ask. It's a lot to ask an older pitching staff to give, you know, a quality start basically every time they go out there. It's a lot to ask. Like, sooner or later, you got to bludgeon people. Like, you got to do sort of what the Rockies did at the Jays tonight occasionally, right? A week or two at the time during the season, just to give a rotation and a pitching staff a break that where every single time they go out there, it's not live or die by, you know, every little inch that they miss by is going to cost them in a game. So, yeah, I mean, everybody's been watching this team said the same exact thing. I mean, they need another bat, and they didn't get it. And this sort of, you can sort of see this coming, I think.
12-4, the Colorado Rockies have beaten the Toronto Blue Jays in the first game of a 3-game series at the Rogers Center. Let's get one more call in, and then we'll take a break. Frank and Kleinberg, you want to weigh in on the idea of a franchise-altering trade?
Yes, 100%. We made it last year. We traded Gurriel and Moreno for Barshal. It's a disaster. We moved Teoscar. We had a good hitting team. A little bit of erratic fielding. They destroyed the team. They killed the team. We got Vladdy and Bo, a couple old players, and then a bunch of bench players. That's all we have. Decent pitching staff. That's it. If they couldn't see what was going to happen this year, I agree with that caller. Ross Atkins should be fired tomorrow. John Schneider fired tomorrow. That's it. Move it out. Move on. You got to change his team. It's terrible. They are going to finish last. That's the bottom line.
Well, I mean, I don't know about finishing last, but I you know, look, that trade, make can't say it. Yeah, it looks it was not a good trade. But as we have said, as I've said, Kevin may feel a little differently. I'm sure he does. At the time, I understood why the trade was made. I'm not going to walk back saying that I understand why the trade was made. They weren't going to sign Lourdes Gurriel Jr. He wasn't going to stick around. Gabriel Moreno, again, people need to remember this. He was not going to be on the team out of spring training. The catchers were going to be Alejandro Kirk and Danny Jansen, you know, unless a trade materialized for Alejandro Kirk. So you have to look at it a little bit that way. Now, having said that, yeah, we're sitting here. The Diamondbacks have been to the World Series. Gabriel Moreno was terrific in the World Series, both defensively and offensively. And Dalton Varsho, I'm not saying he's fighting for his job, but he's fighting to be an everyday player right now. On balance, that's not a good trade. I still think, looking back, getting rid of Teoscar was the thing you probably didn't have to do. Right, Kevin? I wouldn't say an overreach. That may have been one move too many. But at the same time, as I've said, I think that one of the problems with the way last offseason was handled is I think the Jays had another deal that didn't come through. They thought they had another hitter here. And I thought they believed that they could get rid of Teoscar and that somebody would come in here and be able to pick up, you know, would be able to pick up the slack.
A lot of home runs don't grow on trees, and dudes that can hit don't grow on trees.
Yep.
Lourdes can hit, and Teoscar can hit a bunch of home runs. I mean, you stick those two dudes in the middle of your order, forget about Gabby Moreno, what he would bring right now. I mean, just think if he was here while Danny Jansen was injured.
Yeah, but you can't.
Like, the youth and that thing. Yeah, sure you can. I mean, if fans want to go down that way, they can go down that way. Absolutely they can, right?
Mm.
It would – the team and the lineup would look totally different with two of those three guys consistently in the order.
I think the biggest issue – is that this organization completely misread Alejandro Kirk. They fell in love with him. I think they looked at Alejandro Kirk. You know, we know all the great, you know, the defensive numbers and all this stuff, and we know the year he had offensively. I mean, he was a silver slugger. He had a great year offensively. But I think the organization, you know, one of the things the New York Yankees did so well when they were winning is they made the correct read in their players. They knew who to get rid of. They knew who to keep. You got to do that. And clearly this organization got rid of the wrong catcher.
Yeah, Jeff, to Frank's point, but going into the offseason, the organization, the team had an issue. In the season so far, they have the same issue because they didn't do anything to fix it. I think that's why fans sort of are rolling their eyes, throwing their hands in the air, and saying it's like Groundhog Day every time the team shows up on an everyday basis. You can understand that. Like it's.
Oh, I completely understand.
You can understand.
You're not going to undo a trade you did. You're not going to undo a trade you did 2 years ago.
I don't even think it's about the trade. It's about adding more pieces. We said
that's
that.
Fair.
Like we continue to say the Turner's a great add. Absolutely. He can hit. But you need another Turner. Like you needed two of those.
Yep.
And you didn't do that, and you just start putting all the emphasis on something that you've seen go the same way 2 years in a row, a guy that plays first base, and then you're expecting a catcher that you would think probably because of the way the other catcher gets hurt a lot is going to have to play a ton, does the things he doesn't do when he's playing a lot. So, yeah, some of the things were right in front of these guys, and it just seems like either they glossed over him or they just couldn't go out and fix him, whichever one it hadn't been fixed, and now the lineup looks like it looks on an everyday basis.
416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. The Toronto Blue Jays have lost the first game of this three-game series to the Colorado Rockies badly. 12-4, the Rockies, 20 hits. The Rockies, 11 extra base hits on the road, tying a franchise record. Not a good night for Kevin Gausman. The less said about Paolo Espino and Mitch White, the better, although, again, that was garbage time. We're going to take a break and come back with more of your calls. 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. Your thoughts on Kevin Gausman, your concerns on Kevin Gausman. We've had a couple of callers call up and talk about trades that weren't made and talk about maybe it's time to, we had one caller, Maybe it's time to make a franchise-altering deal. Do you buy that? I think it's a little too early to talk about that, but I understand where you're coming from. It's Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
They took it to us today. You know, we gotta be ready to roll tomorrow. It's, you know, that's a really aggressive team that can hit. And, again, I thought we did a pretty good job with the starter. And, you know, just, you know, two runs isn't enough. But, yeah, that's the beauty of baseball. You got to be ready to roll tomorrow. They took it to us tonight.
That's Blue Jays manager John Schneider after a 12-4 last night to Colorado Rockies. Kevin Gausman's allowed six runs in consecutive games for the fourth time in his career. Last was in 2019. He surrendered double-digit hits tonight for the first time since last May in Boston. The Rockies, it's their first win in Toronto in franchise history. Just like saying that. I didn't realize they were actually supposed to be an opponent here in the COVID shortened season. So that's why there's such a gap between the trips here. The Rockies had 20 total hits. That's their most in a single game since 22 on August 9th, 2022 against the St. Louis Cardinals. 416-870-0590, star 590, 1-888-666-0590. It is Blue Jays Talk. Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker are with you for a few more minutes. Justin and Barry, you are on Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I think every call is thinking the same thing tonight, that this team is not good enough and that pieces need to move. So I guess I'm going to go like every other caller and say about Guerrero that he's not good and that I do think he should be moved. He just can't hit the ball. He's swinging outside the zone too much. Jeff, or it was one of you had said that you're not sure if other teams think Guerrero's as good as obviously Ross and Mark think they are. Any chance, I'm just going to throw it out here, that the Rockies would be interested in Guerrero? Like, I'm thinking of, you know, like I watched or I listened tonight, you know, McMahon goes 4-for-6. You know, something like that where...
Well, you can't make a deal based on what one dude did tonight.
Yeah, I know.
Because then you might be trading for Chris Bryant, who actually looked like a major league player for tonight.
Yeah, you know, I'm just throwing it out there. Like,
yeah, no, thanks for the call. I mean, look, Vladdy's got another year left before he's a free agent. I've been writing this and I've been saying it, and reality may be slapping people in the face now. At some point, you got to have a discussion if he's not going to re-sign here about what you're going to do. Yeah. I mean, I think you do. I don't think you let him walk as a free agent and not get anything in return. That's just me. But
maybe
I'm not
they know
privy.
Already.
But I'm not privy to. All I know is he hasn't signed. He's gone year to year since he's been here. That's all I know. That says something to me. That either says something to me about him, or it says something to me about how the organization views him. Would I like Ryan McMahon and this team in a freaking heartbeat? But, you know, trading Vladdy is going to be, there are going to be some heads exploding around here if that happens. And I don't think we're there yet.
Yeah, I don't agree either with he's not good. He's just not great. I think there's a big difference. I think he's good. I mean, his numbers will say he's good. I just don't know if he's great. Like, he was great his first year. He hasn't been great since. That's the question is, can he take it to another level and be great and have a couple of years in a row where he can, you know, say, jump on my back, I'm going to carry us to where we ultimately want to go. We just haven't seen that the last couple of years. But he's been good. I mean, 25 and 95 don't grow on trees. Yeah. So I don't think you can say that. It's just the great part.
I am going to say this, though. You know what? If you look around Major League Baseball, a lot of teams have young players that they could truthfully make a case for being better than Vladdy. Go around every team in baseball, and most of them have a young player, and they could say to you, this guy's better than Vladdy.
I'm not arguing that. I'm not saying that.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying I don't know if people value him as much as we think that they do. They may not.
Yeah, I'm sure people are thinking about, is he a top 50 player in baseball? And you'd really have to think about it right now.
Well, you
I
would.
I think that's where people are at, right?
You would.
It's not a sure thing.
It
so I get your
isn't.
Point.
Kevin Gausman had some comments after the game about his outing. Let's hear from Mr. Gausman before we wrap it up for tonight.
You know, I think my first four or five hits I gave up were on my fastball, so I think I kind of got away from that. But, you know, obviously nothing good happened today. And, you know, just a lot of pitches, you know, a lot of hits, a lot of doubles, a lot of runs, obviously. And, not many positives. Stuff-wise, I feel really good. You know, I threw my slider more because it was really good tonight. But, yeah, I mean, the results are what they are.
That is Kevin Gausman, you know, removing at least the idea that there may be something physical with him. But it will be Kevin. It'll be interesting to talk to Pete Walker at some point in the next couple of days and see what the plans are. Will there be an adjustment in how Kevin Gausman prepares between starts? And it may just have to be something temporary. It may not be that he has to make a drastic adjustment. But you know, you can't have a repeat of what you saw tonight.
Yeah, the really good players always adjust. When things ain't going right, they're gonna adjust and overcome things. Like, it's just that's how they've been in the big leagues forever and make tons of money and be really good at something, is because sometimes just things aren't working and you got to make changes. And the dudes that make the changes quicker and buy into that are the dudes that are really good consistently most of the time. And Kevin's one of those guys. Kevin gets it. Like, you just listen to him talk there.
Yeah, he gets it. Yeah.
He don't come on there and go, ah, this is working and I got, you know, some bad luck in it. No, that's just bad. Things didn't work. It's splitter. A slider was good. Like the slider. I'll throw that more off the next time. But kind of like the way he talks anyway.
12-4, the Blue Jays lose the first game of this three-game series against the Colorado Rockies. But as we always say, the good news, we think the good news, is that you get to do it again tomorrow and Sunday. Thank you for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by the local family-owned Crown Rust Control Centers in Metcalf and Winchester, Ontario. Protect your vehicle from rust today. Find your local family-owned Crown at crown.com. They are Canada's number one rust protection.